I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The latest in college esports from the students that play.
Go behind the scenes at the schools that game.
The only place where esports are
on campus.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Checkpoint XP on Campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports and the world beyond. I am your host, Norris Howard. Join alongside me, or at least digitally, our Jacob brothers and Daniel Agbuya of the good University of Nevada, Las Vegas. What's going on, everybody?
Hello, all you beautiful gamers.
We like video games.
We like video games. I wish that could be the tagline, but it's not. But it's a special day on the show today because this is the Collegiate Star League Grand Final Special. That's right. This weekend, one of the biggest tournament organizers in the land when it comes to collegiate esports has their Grand Finals today, an event that technically was not supposed to happen in the wake of COVID-19, but it is an online tournament this time, and we are back. Guys, there's a list of games here that look very exciting, but a lot of great schools. What's the competition you guys are looking forward to the most?
I gotta say, the one thing I'm looking forward to the most is gonna be kicking off the entire event, and that is gonna be Street Fighter V. Street Fighter V!
Yeah, I mean, it's been a real long time since we had video, like, fighting games. Like, good fighting game tourneys, because
We'll see.
Netcode is a thing.
You might still be waiting.
Yes, that might be true. But we can only hope for the best. We can only hope for the best, because if this works, then that gives me hope for Evo. But I am not holding my breath. Here's the thing. We got a ton of games. We have a ton of competitions and a few schools participating. I'm really excited to see. We have a tournament, as we said, in Street Fighter, but there will also be tournaments for Dota 2, for League of Legends, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, and Rocket League. So those are your competitions, as well as Magic the Gathering. Yes, Magic the Gathering Arena. I almost forgot. But those are going to be some great competitions and some great schools involved. Guys, it's not often we get a big collegiate event to really coalesce around in terms of a grand final. There's not a lot that happens in terms of organization. But this really does feel like there's something special to it. There's some grandeur to this, doesn't it?
It really does. It's kind of great timing because, you know, school's out now. So what better way to kind of kick in summer with a big old collegiate tournament?
Yeah, I think it's really cool how games that aren't as popular get their collegiate spotlight, because there's always going to be collegiate teams for Counter-Strike, for League, for Dota, for like the big ones, Rocket League. But then you're like, there's collegiate Magic the Gathering? Like, there's collegiate Street Fighter? And so for those to like get like a spotlight is sick.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, the thing that I really love about how the tournament is set up is that it's not going to take all day to consume one of them. And that's really a big issue I kind of always had with even some of the pro esports out there, is that, you know, I'm not sure if I want to watch a, you know, 6-hour stream. But if I'm watching it split in half between Street Fighter and Magic the Gathering, then okay, I may tune in for the whole thing simply because I know there's going to be a shift. You know, it's like when they had must-see TV in the 90s, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, yeah, I don't want to watch 2 hours of Urkel, but I'll watch the stuff that comes after it because I like Urkel so much. So I'm really excited to see what's going on with CSL. But I definitely got to ask you guys, you know, these online tournaments are popping up, and Evo, as we said, is moving online. The LCS and also Overwatch League have been online for the entirety of the COVID-19 outbreak. Are we getting to the point now where this may just be how it is, Because I think you're going to have a harder time getting people in these arenas. Or do you think that people really hate playing online and they just want to play in person?
Speaking as a fighting game fan, I definitely know that people still want in-person events. That's for sure. That's never going to change. But it really, really depends on these companies. Like, can they provide excellent netcode? Then they have the incentive to keep things online. It really, if anything, they'll make the in-person events much more grander because they'll happen a lot less often.
Yeah, it definitely won't be in 2020, but like in 2021, like even when I played Mario Kart at the Vegas Esports Arena, like the most fun part of it was being on the stage with people watching. So yeah. Like those competitors like to compete in front of an audience. Like it's the whole part of it. Like, oh, we get to travel to Las Vegas to play in a tournament. That's sick. But for some of the lower level stuff, it probably will stay online, I think.
Yeah. And so, you know, we got a lot of money on the line for Street Fighter and Rocket League. There's $15,000 in scholarships on the line and a whopping $50,000 of scholarships on the line for League of Legends and all the rest of the games, the team games. And that is per event, not between those events. That's per event. So that's a nice chunk of change that's going to be going towards some schooling for some folks. But we want to get right into the content. So we are going to leave that conversation at that. Guys, we want you to stick around because this CSL thing is really, really awesome. And I can't wait to watch all of these brackets, guys. So stick around. We're going to have more on this episode, very special episode of Collegiate Star League Grand Final Special from Checkpoint XP on campus. Stay with us. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports. Right now, we are in the midst of our CSL Grand Final special. Those Grand Finals are literally coming up, guys, in a matter of moments. So make sure that you stick around for that and check it out over at the CSL, that's C-Star League. Make sure you guys check out all the competition going on their Twitch channel. It's going to be a great day. But because of such of this awesome event, we are bringing in Neil Duffy. He is the CCO, that's Chief Commercial Officer of Collegiate Star League and World Gaming. So, Neil, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Norris, for having me. I'm excited to be here and chat with you guys.
Yeah, and so, you know, we know that this year has been incredibly difficult for all forms of sports entertainment. Esports is no different. Collegiate sports even more so, considering how many people live on campuses across North America and across the world. You guys had to make some tough decisions about Collegiate Star League. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you guys were able to bring it back in an online fashion?
Sure. Yeah, it was devastating. We had a phenomenal event planned for middle of April in Las Vegas at the HyperX Esports Arena. So we were going to take our grand finals. The students had played all the way from October through the season. They went into playoffs, and we had to make a tough decision in the middle of playoffs to kind of halt play and then determine what we were going to do next. So what happened was, because everyone's going to think and say, oh, well, esports can be played online. Why did you guys stop the season? The challenge was when the students were taken off campus and sent back to their respective homes or cities or states or sometimes even countries, they just didn't have the same gaming setups. They didn't have the same computers, the peripherals, didn't have the same ambiance, the coaches. So we had to make a call based on the competitive integrity of the league. We got some big money on the line. We got, you know, $215,000 up for grabs in our grand finals. So we halted play. We talked to the students. We had focus groups around every different game. And eventually, after a little while, once we realized that this, you know, pandemic was here to stay, and first and foremost, the student safety was what we had to take into consideration, and that we weren't going to get the opportunity to play this season out. We went back to them. We talked to them about whether they felt comfortable playing, got all of the responses back that they did, and that they understood that the integrity of the game was going to be across the board.
Trying to work their way around the
Ivy. Their arenas or their labs or in their, you know, setups, and they were all going to be playing from home. And then we proceeded to play. So now we've got down to our finalists, and we're going to host. We brought our grand finals back this weekend, completely online this time. So no live event. We've got great casters. We've got you know, great host. And
yeah, and so, you know, it's really cool to see this event come back. I'm excited to see this event come back. Albeit, even if it is an online event, I'm happy to see it here because the students and those collegiate athletes have put in a lot of work over the course of the semester to get to this point. Now, obviously, with the decision to go to an online format, you guys initially announced that it you know, may not even happen, that it was a postponement while you guys figure things out. You know, what was sort of the reaction from the students and the participating schools when you guys eventually did announce that it was coming back online?
Everybody was fired up. As soon as they knew that it was coming back, it gives them a reason to play. One thing I'll say is sports, and as an extension of that, esports is really the lifeblood of competition. And people live and breathe and rally behind competition. So I think everyone felt deflated. I think everyone felt, you know, anxious, and everyone was, you know, a little bit, you know, uneasy about what's going on in the world. And stuff like sports and esports can really rally people together. And now when you look at some of the teams we've got, you know, UT Dallas, you know, University of Washington, the University of Toronto, University of Chicago, there's so many schools that are participating, and now it gives those student bodies, those athletes, those coaches, those administrators, you know, gives them a purpose. And you're hoping to be crowned a national champion. You're hoping to go to the playoffs, and then the season gets cut short. And yeah, everybody, once it happened, said, great move, CSL. We appreciate it. We were committed to paying out the scholarships no matter what, because those students had earned that. But it was just a matter of if we were going to be able to actually play through the season.
Right.
I'm a national champion, and we were thankful to be able to do that.
We're here with Neil Duffy, the CCO of Collegiate Star League and World Gaming Network as well. But one thing I definitely want to ask you is that CSL and Collegiate Esports really continues to grow throughout North America, especially. I've even been seeing a lot more collegiate esports coming out of places like Spain and France. And so seeing a collegiate esports grow even more as, you know, professional esports continues to grow. You guys have been doing this already for quite a while. What has it been like seeing Collegiate Star League, not just as a brand, but collegiate esports grow to where it is now, and to even see what the potential in the next few years could be?
Well, we love it. And for us to be involved now, this is our 11th season. We're about to culminate our 11th season this weekend. And we're about to award over $1 million in our lifetime. So $215,000 this weekend, and that'll bring us up over the $1 million mark. So that makes me really happy to be able to give back to the community and give back to student gamers to that level. That's huge. I think it's really interesting because video gaming on campus has been prevalent for a long time. And I know when I was in school, I went to school in 2004 to 2009, everybody was playing games, but it was more so guys like, you know, one of my guys down the hall would organize a Madden tournament. Everyone puts your money in and you go play. And then at the end of it, that's it. And you, maybe you're the best on your floor. Maybe you're the best on your dorm. Maybe you're even the best on your campus. But what we were able to do is really galvanize the community. Start with 25 schools, grow to 50, grow to 100, 200, to 400, 800. Now we're on over 1,800 campuses with competitive students playing, you know, in the Star League and in the Open League. The Star League is for those people that are super competitive, those varsity level teams. And the Open League is for people that are just looking to come and have a social experience. Maybe it's a fun LAN tournament. Maybe it's a junior varsity program. Maybe it's just you get to play with people and you know, engage in a different way than going out to frat parties or, you know, going out to bars. Because what I find that we are, as much as we're a competitive league and tournament operator, we're also really a community. And that's really the only thing that matters at the end of the day, is how do you bring together that community? How do you find like-minded people who are going to, you know, meet their best friend, meet their future husband or wife, or just meet some people that they get along with and have a great collegiate experience, whether it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years. And that's what I'm most proud about CSL, is our 75,000 community members strong are some of the we've made some lifelong friendships with those people, and I've made friendships with these people that have lasted 4 or 5 or 6 years now.
Awesome. And if you have any words for the competitors this weekend, Neil, as the face of CSL right now, what would you have to say to everybody competing over this weekend?
I would say this is your opportunity to go out and compete for a national championship. If anybody watched the Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, you see that competitive spirit of that guy. And I hope that these student gamers are channeling that and they bring that to their gameplay, whether it be on Saturday or Sunday. Because at the end of the day, you can walk away and you can do other really cool things with your life. But if you win a national championship, no one can ever take that away from you. There's a lot of money on the line, which means a lot to a lot of people, especially during these challenging times. But the thing that when you're 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, if you're a national champion and you can look back and be really one of those first people to ever win a championship from a collegiate esports will be there in 80 years. I promise you that. And if you can compete for any of these schools, you know, Robert Morris or UC Santa Cruz, Columbia College, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, all of these different areas, Akron, one of the best Rocket League schools in the country. These guys are going head to head, mano a mano, to win that ring. Go chase it. Leave everything you've got on the floor, whatever the analogy is you want to use. Go get that championship.
Awesome. Awesome. Neil Duffy from Collegiate Star League, thank you so much for joining us. And for those who may not know, who are just listening to this or maybe are just getting to know Collegiate Star League, where can they find all the information?
Come check us out, cstarleague.com. But most importantly, come check us out this weekend, twitch.tv/cstarleague. It wouldn't have been possible without some great sponsors, TikTok, GameStop, Twitch Student. Those guys are the best. HyperX has been phenomenal to us. There's so many great partners that we've got. eFuse, if you haven't checked out those guys, go make a profile with them. All of these people coming together from big brands to small brands to startups to come together to grow collegiate esports. We're in this together. We're trying to build something that's going to last a lot longer than all of us. You know, we'll even be working and in this space. And this is early days still. Come check us out this weekend. We're going to have some great prizes. We're going to have a lot of fun. And we're going to see the next generation of esports superstars.
Thank you so much, Neil, for joining us. And we are going to have a lot more coming up on Checkpoint XP on campus. This is our CSL Grand Final special. Welcome to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports in the world beyond. Your host, Norris Howard, here. And we have a very, very special guest. As soon as you hear his voice, you don't know who we got in. We brought in Ree Forbes to talk a little bit about the CSL Magic the Gathering tournament to go on. Biggest card tournaments for the collegiate space going on right now. And it's going down this weekend at the Collegiate Star League Grand Finals. Reforged, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
I am 100%, actually 200% appreciative of being able to talk about collegiate esports, because collegiate esports is two of my most favorite things, obviously esports, but then also card games, which I've been in the community now for 27 years. So been here a minute when there was only Magic. Yeah, back when we had to ice skate uphill both ways, all that stuff.
That's right. That's right. You are literally older than 66% of the cast of Checkpoint XP on campus. Or you've been involved in that community,
yes,
for longer. But the CSL Grand Finals are here now. And this is really, in my opinion, coming off the back of a huge, huge resurgence with Magic the Gathering, with Arena and how it's dropped. And really, I mean, if you could have told me anything would rival Hearthstone as the top card game in esports right now, a couple years ago, I'd have said you're crazy. Arena really is, it's changed it all up, hasn't it?
Yeah, the big thing is, as Magic players, we've been accustomed to playing in real life, in front of tables, all of that, and then dealing with the Magic Online client. And the Magic Online client, which is very old, and we've just kind of grown accustomed to the things that are with it. What Arena did is it kind of brought us into, you know, I don't say the new world, but into what is going on in gaming today. And like you said, with Hearthstone being able to be pretty easy to get into, free to play, you can kind of grind it out, and having a UI that's really intuitive, those are the kind of things that Arena brought to the table. And with that, it brought a lot of people back to playing online, and obviously with everything going on with quarantine and COVID, being able to have a game that works, that looks good, that has skins, that has the things that everybody had in their card games online, now we have it in our card game in Magic. It's really, really nice.
Yeah, and you know, just to stay on that note very quickly, you know, I mentioned Hearthstone, and it was the biggest card game, but you now have Realms of Runeterra that's out, coming from Riot Games, the folks that make League of Legends. Card games at this point right now are seeing a renaissance, but why do you think it really is Magic specifically that is able to really make a lot of noise, at least in the competitive space?
Well, you have to understand that Magic the Gathering, even though it doesn't have the largest online presence compared to maybe some of these other games like Dota and League of Legends and things like that, but the players themselves, the players in real life that go to the tournaments, there are millions and millions of Magic the Gathering players. And then on top of that, you've got this history where somebody like myself, who started playing Magic when I was 13 years old and now I'm 40 years old, I have this is something I've done longer than pretty much, besides eating, this was as long as the thing I've done the most in my life. There's this love affair. There's this marriage that goes on with Magic. And it goes through when really there weren't, the internet was basically just starting. It was really just kind of getting off the ground to today, where we have multi-million dollar tournaments. And when we talk about renaissance, again, it's not so much a renaissance for Magic because our players have been here. It's just a matter of more people converting to the online format, as opposed to doing these large, what we call Grand Prix in Magic, where it's like, or Magic Fests, where there's thousands and thousands of players across everywhere. But even when we had tournaments that was like Magic Fest Las Vegas, where you've got players from all across the world that come to one place in Las Vegas, not only to compete just for the top prize, but most people, and I would say probably 80-85% of the people who are there are just there to have fun and hang out with their friends. So that is what Magic has always been about. They say, oh, well, the Magic is, you know, the Pro Tour and tournaments, but really Magic is about the gathering. It's about hanging out with your friends and enjoying the time you have with each other. And sometimes the tournament itself is just, you know, it's kind of secondary to actually being in with your friends and having a good time.
Yeah, we're talking to Reforge right now. You're listening to Checkpoint XP on campus. And so let's turn our attention towards the tournament proper. We have our final brackets right now. We know who's going to be participating over the weekend. You know, how much of these teams have you gotten to see, and who do you think is going in as the favorites?
So when it comes to the Magic the Gathering broadcast, I have covered every single week since the beginning of the semester. So I am pretty familiar with all of the teams. And I hate it saying like, oh, well, there's no favorite and things like that. But the issue here is when we've gotten to this point of the tournament, this is the Collegiate Star League Grand Finals. These teams have played tons of Magic, and not just competitive Magic for CSL. They're playing Magic for fun. They're grinding the ladder. They're trying to hit Mythic. They're watching all of the outlets to see what are the best decks. And the thing about this format is you don't have to have three different decks. Your team can literally break the format, come with three of the same decks, and as long as you guys know the decks in and out, you can do well. And I would expect that both of these teams are going to be looking at the meta. And we do have to kind of worry that Wizards of the Coast may ban some cards. You know, there could be emergency bans. There could be changes with companions and things like that. But there are very, very popular decks that are out there. But they also could be holding on to some spice for this Grand Finals, because even though the CSL Grand Finals are going to be online, we still are going to crown a national champion. And there's not many people in the world who can say that they are, you know, world champion, or excuse me, collegiate champions. They just don't exist. I mean, we just don't have that format except for Collegiate Star League. I was happy to do it last year with Fortnite. And then this year we were going to be doing it with Magic the Gathering. But saying that you're the national champions is going to have some weight. So I would expect both of these teams to be working with pros to be able to come up with the best deck and be able to surprise us all and take home that crown.
Okay. You hit on a couple things that I desperately need to ask you about.
Yes.
So right out the gate, I need you to walk me through, how does a match even work? Because like when I look at Goatnappers, I see there's like four people that have played. And then when I look at Lawn Darts, there's like one person that has played, from what it says. So how does that work?
So it sounds like there might not be updated all the way, but the way it works for these tournaments is you have two teams of three. And the idea is each team member will play against one team member from the other team, and it's best two out of three. Now, once you finish your best two out of three, it's whoever wins the first, well, the first team to win two matches of the three matches. So if I'm going, let's say I'm player A, I go against the other team's player A and I win. Well, now in our other two matches, we only have to win one of those two to win the match. And that's how it's gone on all season. And the other thing about this team competition is you can work with each other. Now, I don't mean that you can share cards or anything like that, but right. You can essentially, like, if you're all playing at the same time or if you're playing differently, if now before you could like get together in the same room at your university and then all play your games together so that when one person's playing, maybe the other two people are standing behind them and say, hey, no, maybe we shouldn't do that, or maybe we should sideboard this way. This, you know, I'm assuming they'll probably be on Discord or something like that now, but you can work with each other to help each other, make sure you do the right move. So I don't know if they're all going to be playing at the same time during the grand finals, or if it's like we're going to do match one, then match two, then match three. Mm-hmm. But if they are playing at the same time, then it does become a little bit more difficult to help your teammate. But if they do it separately, then it would be kind of like three-headed giant where you've got yourself and then your two teammates behind you helping. But one of the things about this, when you play all at the same time, there is a, I want to say a metagame to that. So like if the middle board person is playing a real aggro deck and they need to be able to help both of their teammates to the side, maybe their decision-making is a little bit easier or their decision trees aren't as deep. So then they can say, okay, I'm going to do this move and now I can turn and help my opponent or help my teammate here. I can help my teammate there. Or maybe, you know, the person in the middle or maybe the people on the other sides of them don't need as much help. There's a lot of different ways to set up the teams, but online, usually it's not quite as intricate as that as when it's like in person where you really have to deal with those kind of issues.
Right. Right.
Now, unfortunately, we're gonna have to cut it there. And I know Jacob is looking at me with an eye of scorn and disappointment.
Fierce right now, you.
Scorn and disappointment because we want to talk a little bit more about Magic, but unfortunately, we got to stop it there. So we want to thank Reforce for coming in and sharing his expertise and teaching us a little bit about Magic, because it's something you guys should definitely be checking out. Not only if you're a Magic fan, but if you're new to card games and online esport card games. Right now, Magic is one of the easiest to get into, and it has that legacy. You know somebody who has played Magic before. And probably
ask your older siblings. Yeah.
Yeah, your parents.
Ask your parents, your older sibling, ask them. But they've played. But we want to thank Reforce for coming in and sharing his expertise with us. And we would love to have you back anytime Magic is going on. We would love to have you back on the show.
Absolutely. Just give me a call. I would love to talk about it. And again, everyone tune in to the grand finals of Collegiate Star League here shortly.
All right, guys. So stick around. We are going to have more from Checkpoint XP on campus. This is our CSL grand final special. Welcome to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports and the world beyond. Your host, Norris Howard, here with two very special guests here on our CSL preview show. That's right. We have AJ, also known as Sink Ships Taylor, and we also have Dan Dito, Daniel Park, both from the University of Illinois. These guys will be playing this weekend against Columbia. Guys, how you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing excellent. And obviously, before we even move forward, this whole coronavirus thing has put a lot of this tournament play on hold and really extended the whole thing with grand finals. When you guys heard that grand finals was going to be back on, because initially it had been postponed, were you guys excited to hear that you were going to be participating?
Yeah, so I think from the team standpoint of sight, we were excited in the way that we definitely wanted to continue competing in general. We definitely think that we have a really clear shot in order to at least be, you know, number one or number two. It was kind of what we had always thought since, you know, we even entered into playoffs in general. It was just kind of unlucky and unfortunate that with everything kind of going on, that when we saw this, we were like, oh, you know, like, this sucks, but obviously there's nothing that we can do about it, but we're glad that the grand finals is going to be happening, because we, you know, the goal in general was always to beat Columbia College, right? So now we're at that point. So that's where I think that we're kind of at.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, sort of that fire with you guys between you and Columbia, that's something that, you know, we're beginning to see a little bit in collegiate esports in particular, where these sort of organic rivalries are starting to build simply because you're playing a few teams in a row, or you're playing them in the same bracket, or your academy team is playing their academy team. And so these things start to pop up. What is it about Columbia that you guys feel like you really just want to beat them specifically?
I mean, they're known as a powerhouse team, right? Every single team, when you're thinking about collegiate esports, you're always thinking, oh, the top teams, you know, you got Maryville, you got CC. And even when before I even joined the collegiate esports scene, around Riot's client, things of that sort, I would always see Maryville, CC. I would sometimes see Illinois too. So I was like, oh, CC seems like the team to beat.
Yeah, that's and that's really cool coming from you guys, because I'm a big fan of rivalries. I'm in Southeast Michigan, so I'm all about Michigan, Ohio State all day long. But, you know, seeing that come to the collegiate esports realm in a lot of ways that hasn't even necessarily been built up in pro esports, are you guys excited to see those powerhouse teams emerge and hope to be one of those powerhouse teams?
I think it's a difficult question because a lot of the stuff definitely relies on collegiate administrations. You know, people can be in talk. You know, for example, Columbia College, Harrisburg, Maryville, I wouldn't necessarily say that they are huge schools just in general, like just in regular collegiate kind of an idea. But they definitely become powerhouses within collegiate esports because they have built these really amazing programs. They've, you know, have a lot of scholarships that are going towards it. They have whole units, you know, buildings, computers, sponsorships, you know, everything that they can dedicated to their esports players. And they're able to recruit from ex-pro players, ex-amateur players, you know, high challenger people that in general, that if they want to go to college, they're going to go to one of these three things. Unfortunately, right now, University of Illinois does not have to offer any sort of scholarships or any major backing. We have just this year started acquiring a space that we could be able to use as a rent necessarily between our other teams. So like Overwatch, Rainbow Siege, or Rocket League, all those other ones basically are in this same space. And so, you know, it's nice that we finally have kind of a space, but you don't have it privately just to your League of Legends or just to your Overwatch or just to your other things. You have to kind of share these things around. And so we're starting to slowly get some sort of university support. I don't think that scholarship's going to be on the cusp of it for quite some time, unfortunately. But that's, you know, that's always the major goal, is that if we can get our players to be funded in some way, shape, or form, I think that'll be really cool. So.
Yeah, you're listening to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports. I am right now talking to Sync Ships and Dan Dito. They're both coming from the League of Legends side of the University of Illinois. And, you know, I want to get back to you guys as a team and sort of the lead up to this weekend. You know, with such a long break between matches and things being put on hold, how do you guys stay sharp in preparation for this upcoming event?
I mean, it's just a lot of solo queue grind and a lot of scrims. I know it's a little bit more difficult trying to find scrims. I know Sync has been trying really hard to find scrims, but with a lot of tournaments ending and Corona going around, a lot of players just don't have the good internet. They don't have like the right setup. So it's really hard to find scrims, but somehow we're able to find some. So thanks to Sync for that. He's finding us some good practice and we're just getting some work in.
Yeah. And you know, I really love hearing that, because we talked to a lot of schools here on the show, and one of the main things they've been saying is that, you know, finding scrims is incredibly difficult, not because teams aren't willing, but simply because the ping is just too terrible. And it's just really difficult to get, you know, everybody on at least a similar quality setup. So I really feel your pain on that. But moving forward about this weekend, I know you guys are confident. I know you're rolling through. What do you guys think you need to do effectively in order to win out and get the championship?
I think we've been talking about this quite a lot, honestly. It's really difficult to prepare for Columbia. They have, you know, very well-rounded players. They're all, if not have been and or are challenger right now. Most of them are just not playing, you know, due to the same reasons. And in general, it's like, you know, you can't, there's not really a major weakness. You know, it's not like you look at these players and you go, oh, okay, X players really, you know, the kind of their lower standpoint. Let's see if we can try to do that. Or, oh, okay, this player is really good on only these two champions, so let's see if we can ban these and kind of prep around that. It's like, you look at that lineup and it literally is a star-studded lineup, at least in terms of, you know, us as the underdogs. We're already an academy team. We're already, you know, down technically 0-1 because they get a one game advantage from coming up from upper finals. You know, it's like, yep. the chips unfortunately are very much stacked against us. And so I think the biggest thing is that it's really going to come down to how exactly we play draft. Is that if we can just pick for our comfort, pick for things that we happen to know, things that we think that they're going to go for, and try to plan out as much as we possibly can, and then overall just try to get them, you know, slipping on some way, shape, or form. I think that's our biggest and best shot, but it's going to be really hard to have a draft difference in 3 games overall, you know. So we'll see.
Definitely. And from what I, you know, hear about you guys, because, you know, you guys play a lot of games, and unfortunately some of them are off stream, but I think because of this tournament, and I hope because of this tournament, you guys get a lot more shine, because from what I hear, you guys are excellent. And I personally can't wait to watch you guys and root for you during the grand finals. So again, we want to thank our guests, Dan Dito and Sync Ships from the University of Illinois. If there is a word to all of the alumni out there, what would you say to them? And what would you say to the world of CSL at large?
I mean, I would just want to thank everyone who's been watching our stream, supporting Illinois. I know there's a Illini Esports Discord. We've been getting a lot of support through that. I know a lot of my friends, too, are just tuning in on streams, watching us play, cheering us on, hoping that we win, and hopefully we do bring back the win.
Excellent, excellent. Where can we find you guys on social media?
Yeah, so my my Twitter is at iSyncShips, and that's sync as in like you're syncing things up together, so S-Y-N-C ships, and then Dan?
Instagram, the Daniel Park, Twitter at DanditoNA. That's all I got.
And that's good enough. So we are happy that you guys could join us. Good luck this weekend, and we hope all the best for you. Thanks again.
Thank you.
We're going to have more in our CSL special right before the grand finals, so stick around. We got more coming up.
The latest in college esports from the students that play.
Go behind the scenes at the schools that game.
The only place where esports are
on
campus.
So, what exactly is Geek Culture Congress? Well,
remember Suicide Squad, we said the same thing. Oh, yeah, they got a great cast.
I said no such thing.
It's where me, Luis Speedy Jr. Gonzalez, actor and comedian Tarek Lewis, and world-renowned DJ and social influencer Joey Franchise talk everything geek.
There was, like, clones of Luke and weird stuff that was happening.
It got too far.
Yeah.
We're reviewing movies, comic books, TV shows, apps, video games, and life in general.
The GCC, Geek Culture Congress. Download and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.